From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Voters in Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District collected enough signatures a few months back to initiate a recall election for incumbent state senator, Republican Dan Kopanky. Democratic State Representative Jennifer Schilling is his challenger. Both lawmakers are from La Crosse and join me in our studios today for a live candidate forum. Senator Kopanky, it's your turn to answer the next question first. I want to talk about campaign finance. Both of you have raised quite a bit of money, and there's been a lot of money that's come in from independent groups, people who are spending money on ads and on mailings. I'm wondering how that money affects your campaign and how it affects you as a politician. Senator Kopanky.
Well, I just work with in my own campaign and try and raise as much money as I can personally so I can get the message out to the people. I know that there are third-party interests, and quite frankly, the third-party interests are much more against me than they are for me, so I've been way outspent as far as third-party money for or against me. But I think that we still have an obligation to work as hard as we can to get the message out that we want out there. The Supreme Court has ruled that they have a right to do this. Other organizations and other businesses have a right to exercise their First Amendment rights in a campaign. I respect that. I would fight very hard for the opportunity for someone who opposes me to have that right to put ads out there against me. I think that's, again, been upheld by the Supreme Court. The one area that I think certainly most voters would like to know is who are these people and where is this money coming from? And if we could have a little bit more transparency in the third-party spending, I think that would go a long ways towards addressing some of the major concerns out here. But there is a lot of money. Individuals have supported me. By and large, it's been very few PAC dollars. It's been individuals that have supported me from throughout the 32nd District and throughout the state, for that matter, and even from all corners of the United States.
And Representative Schilling.
Well, unfortunately, those independent expenditures, I mean, that's the system that we are in right now. And sometimes as a candidate, you feel like you're running against two opponents. You have that name on the ballot that you're running against, but you also have kind of this nameless, faceless, independent groups that are out there that are on the airwaves or in the mailbox. And certainly think that we need to have disclosure of these groups. That's the least that we could move towards, that we as candidates need to fully disclose where we're getting our contributions from and that transparency. So when my neighbor gets done mowing the yard, she walks over and drops a check off at my house, I need to, you know, send that into the Government Accountability Board so that they that know that that contribution was made to the campaign. You know, certainly we will be outspent in this race. We will not be out-organized or outworked. And unfortunately, we haven't had kind of that political will to try to address these outside interest groups that are coming in. And they really, you know, can hijack the campaign because those of us who run for office, we're usually type A personalities. We like to be in control of things. But you quickly feel like you're losing control when these groups, and you have no coordination with them, you can't. That would be illegal. When they suddenly, you know, are on the airwaves and in your mailbox. So I certainly think that we do need to have some reform of campaign finance reform. When you get into the weeds of it, most people's eyes kind of glaze over. But I think people here in Wisconsin understand, you know, transparency and knowing who is funding these groups.
So there have been negative ads coming from both sides saying some semi-nasty things about each of you. Is there anything you'd like to clear the air on? Anything that's been said about you that hasn't been accurate? Representative Schilling?
Well, I think in one of the first ads that the Club for Growth released earlier this spring, it talked about that I had cut senior care in the last budget, and that was not correct at all, that there was a re-estimate about the number of seniors that were utilizing that, so we realized some cost savings in it, and we can have that confirmed by the department, and we have looked into that there was not a cut in certain in benefits or eligibility to people, but there was a re-estimate on it. So I think that was one of the areas that was misleading that of some of the groups that have been out there saying things. But, you know, we have made tough choices in these budgets. And in the last budget, we looked at that notion of shared sacrifice, and we asked people to contribute and to help us out of this deficit. We had a deficit that was twice as large as the one that we are dealing with now, and yet we did not decide to go after the working families and the assault on education, as we've seen here in this administration.
Senator Kopenke.
Well, the big one is I've been accused of wanting to end Medicare. Nothing could be further from the truth. As a state senator, I have no authority over Medicare or Social Security, and yet I've had senior after senior call me and say, what are your thoughts on Medicare and Social Security? Why do you want to end it? Why do you want to change it? I don't want to change it. There was a piece of legislation that Congressman put forward, Paul Ryan, that would make Medicare sustainable for people as young as you, Maureen. But no one that I've heard of has ever been talking about pulling the rug out from seniors and ending Medicare or Social Security. I have not heard that. So that's blatantly false. It's not true. It's actually a lie. Second is helping big business. Again, I mentioned earlier, 86% of businesses in Wisconsin are 20 employees or less. 56% are 5 employees or less. We do have some big businesses, and big businesses aren't all bad. They provide jobs. They provide opportunities. When you look at Quick Trip, I think they employ 10,000 people now or more throughout the Midwest. What a wonderful story that is. Or you can talk about Ashley Furniture, or you can talk about Logistics Health, or Organic Valley was mentioned earlier. So we're all here to help all businesses, mom and pops and big businesses. We want to grow jobs and opportunities for our people in the 32nd. And lastly, I've been accused of being a rubber stamp for Governor Walker. Well, I was one of the first legislators that came out against Governor Walker's proposal to spin off the UW campus from the system.
The private school voucher system expanded beyond Milwaukee in the last budget. And this is at a time when public school spending also declined. Do you expect private school vouchers to head into western Wisconsin, and do you support the idea? Senator Kopenke.
Well, first off, I supported the voucher plan in Milwaukee County and Racine. If we take a look at the results of the school systems in those two communities, there's no question that we need to do something different. The graduation rates and what happens after these kids get out of school is just simply unacceptable. Whether it be the Milwaukee County, and obviously it's not all areas, but it's some areas, and then also in Racine. So I think we owe it to every child to give them the opportunity and the future that all of our students enjoy here in Wisconsin. Will it expand to western Wisconsin? I would say, as far as expansion of the voucher system in Wisconsin here, I think it must be very, very measured. We must make sure that we're doing the right thing. And right now, I do not see a need to expand the voucher system to western Wisconsin. I've been to all the school districts in my 32nd district for some time now, and I've seen firsthand how they work, the operation of the teachers in the classrooms, the administrators, the school boards. I'm very proud of the education that we have here in western Wisconsin. I would not see that need at this point, certainly.
And Representative Schilling.
I have expressed concerns over the expansion of the taxpayer-funded Milwaukee voucher school system. I have concerns that at a time that we cut our schools $800 million, our public schools $800 million, we see an expansion of that controversial program down in Milwaukee to Milwaukee County and to Racine, and the governor wanted to expand it to Green Bay as well, but that was nixed in the budget. These schools, they do not have the same requirements as these public schools do. There are no background checks of the teachers. They don't have to be DPI certified. They don't need to take special education students. That they don't have to do the same testing that is required of our public schools so that we can measure what those students are learning compared to what the students in the Milwaukee public school or in the public schools are learning. That we need to have greater transparency and, I think, accountability over these schools. I know within our caucus, it is a controversy. Controversial position with those voucher schools, and I have colleagues that I respect tremendously in Milwaukee who are on both sides. That there are Milwaukee colleagues of mine who find them troubling and are concerned about that notion of privatizing education here in our state. And there are others that say that we need to do something. And so I think probably it's somewhere that we need to look at greater transparency, greater oversight and accountability of those schools before we start expanding them statewide, because that really is an effort to try to privatize public education.
The next question comes from a listener, Chris from Richland County. She wants to know what your position is on the increase in concentrated animal feeding operations, also known as CAFOs, in western Wisconsin. Do you think they impact family farms and the environment? Representative Schilling.
Sure. I think probably that's one of the most important issues that will be facing the Department of Ag Trade and Consumer Protection, and their board that they have made up is concentration of CAFOs here in western Wisconsin, but around the state. And there are certainly concerns about the environmental impacts that those large farms have, those corporate farms have, as far as runoff and into our streams and the effect that it has on our natural resources. That there are efforts that we need to support our small family farms. Many of them here in western Wisconsin part of a very growing and successful movement of organic farming here in Wisconsin. As I had mentioned, you know, Vernon County is that 55th county in the nation for ag production, and I think that we certainly need to be careful, but we need to make sure that we are supporting those supporting those small family farms through efforts like farm to school, the buy local, buy Wisconsin products, that these small family farms can identify a market that they can partner with, if it's with a school district, to get those locally grown foods into the cafeteria and into the diet of those students, or if it's partnering with hospitals or other things. But I think that is something that here, as I travel 32nd District, I am learning more about the CAFOs and certainly those concerns that they have to the environment, but also the threats that it's posing to our small family farms.
And Senator Kopenke.
Many years ago, Wisconsin was the number one dairy state in the nation, and of course, we were proud of that. And then we started losing cows to California and the other states in the Southwest. A dairy cow is equivalent to $15,000 to $17,000 of economic activity. So we were losing dollars. We were losing jobs. They were going to the Southwest. They were going to California. Since that time, we've passed an egg siting law for allowing farmers to grow their herd size in a manner that conforms to rules and regulations set down by the DNR and the Department of Agriculture. We've passed some legislation for investment tax credits. And since that time, since about 2005, we have seen the number of cows in Wisconsin grow. And we're improving our production. Food processes have followed the cows back to Wisconsin, and so we're growing jobs in that sector. I think we have, I don't know how many cheese processors here in Wisconsin. I know it's well over 100, providing good jobs to so many people. That's exactly what we need to do. But we need to do it, again, in a manner that is a balance. We have to balance growth of the egg industry with our environment, and we're able to do that. We want to continue to do that. We do have bad players now and then, but I would encourage our listeners to look at the Wild Rose Dairy in the Lafarge area. The operator there, Art Thielen, is proud of what he does. They have a digester there that uses the animal waste to produce electricity. It's a great story, and those are the kind of operations that we want here in western Wisconsin.
The American Transmission Company is proposing a high-voltage, 150-foot-tall power lines, also known as the Badger Cooley Line, and this would run from La Crosse to Madison. It could eventually connect with the proposed CapEx 2020 line, which is a similar project, and is running from Minnesota into La Crosse. What are your thoughts on these projects, and do you support them? Senator Kopenke.
Well, first off, I attended two I guess open houses, if you will, that ATC put on, one in Cashin and one in Unalaska, because I want to learn more about what they have in mind and what the process was. Obviously, there were some people there that were in favor and there were some people that were against, but they were there for information. There's a couple questions that need to be answered. Number one, where is this line going to go, if it comes at all? If we do need more power, is this the best source? Can we look at other options? And again, if this is the option, where is the best place to place it? And thirdly, are there other options, such as other power plants, other types of energy, that renewable energies, do they play a role, and where do they play a role, and can we produce enough energy to satisfy the job growth that we all are anticipating here in Wisconsin. There's no question that we need power to do it. It's just a matter of, is the ATC line, is that the best source? Are there other options? And really, do we need this line? I think those are all questions that are going to be answered in the coming months. I know that the Public Service Commission will eventually play a role and weigh in on this project, but until that time, we need to continue to do our fact-finding and listen to the people and talk to the people that are coming in with the line and I'll talk to people, professionals in the field of energy and as to whether their options might be available.
And Representative Schilling.
Yeah, I need to be convinced that there is a demonstrated need for this. As the public has weighed in, asking these questions, and hopefully ATC will be forthcoming with some of these answers to the questions that are being asked by the residents of Western Wisconsin, especially coming through a very environmentally sensitive area, that there are certainly concerns to our landscape and to really the pristine natural resources that we have and what kind of negative impacts that it could have on areas there that are big on tourism through the trout streams and other things like that. That what impact will that have on land going through Western Wisconsin? But I also think that there may be you look at the different routes that are being put forward, and do not underestimate the importance of those public comment periods that the Public Service Commission looks through those comments and though that weighs heavy, I think, on their mind. And if there are other areas and other routes that already have the right-of-way that has been purchased, that we can just go down through a similar route there that has that right-of-way, that those are questions that need to be answered. And the Public Service Commission will be, the agency that will be doing this. But certainly do not underestimate the importance of those landowners, those homeowners in Western Wisconsin who are concerned about that route and what it will mean to their townships, to their communities, to their neighborhoods and to Western Wisconsin, and really the tranquility that we have here.
And we're going to mix things up a little bit right now. I'm going to give you each the opportunity to ask each other a question. So Representative Schilling, would you like to ask Senator Kopanky a question first, and then you can respond?
Sure. Well, Senator Kopanky, I haven't heard any justification yet for that time when constituents tried to reach out to you and couldn't contact you, but found that the phones were turned off, that messages were full, that emails went unanswered, and that the lights were off and the door was locked. And I think many people expressed frustration when they came down to the Capitol to share their concerns with you, that there are many other offices, including mine, that we worked overtime, we stayed late, we were open on the weekends as people came down to voice their concerns, and I haven't heard any justification about those inactions, and really the fact that many people felt that they had you had turned their back on them and their opportunity to share their concerns with you over what was happening.
Well, quite the contrary. That true is not necessarily the way it was. There was one day that it was recommended that my staff not show up for work for security reasons, for safety reasons, and we did that. So it was one day. My hallway was locked for many days. Groups that wanted to come in and visit me and had appointments to come in were let in. Otherwise, it was security, Capitol Police and that had the door locked for a period of time there. But despite that, I was holding town hall meetings out in the district. I had a town hall meeting in Cashin. I had a town hall meeting in Holman. I had a town hall meeting in Viroqua during this very time so that I could be accessible. I visited with people at Riverside Park when there was a union rally taking place in February. My name is in the phone book. My cell phone is given out if I'm not home. I am at the coffee shops throughout the district. I am accessible, and I have a reputation of being accessible always, and I always have been. And there was a period of time when I admit it was a little bit difficult. There was one day that I couldn't get to my office. I could not get to my office. I could not get through the crowds. The crowds would not let me and a staff member get to my office. So not only did some of my constituents maybe have trouble getting to my office, I had trouble getting to my office on a couple of days. But having said all of that, again, I have been accessible throughout my 6.5 years. That is a charge that is unfounded. It was an extraordinary time. There was one day that my doors were locked.
And Senator Kopanky, a question for Representative Schilling.
Yeah. If you were in the majority, how do you think you and your party would have addressed the $3.6 billion deficit that we were facing in January of this year?
As I have talked about on numerous occasions, that I have sat on the Joint Finance Committee for 2 years, two budgets, so four years, two budgets that we have worked on. And in the last budget, when there was a deficit that was twice as large as the one that we had to deal with this time, we made sure that we protected those priorities and those core values here in Wisconsin, that we didn't go to education first to cut. It seemed that this year in this budget, that was the first thing that Governor Walker and Republicans went to. They first went to schools to cut them by $800 million, the technical schools by the university system by $250 million, and our technical schools by $72 million. I would not have opened up the Las Vegas loophole here in Wisconsin. I wouldn't have given away some of these tax breaks to businesses at a time that we talk about shared sacrifice. The rhetoric just did not match reality. I would have done a better job of going after the delinquent taxes that are currently owed here in Wisconsin, over $770 million of people who find ways to skirt the responsibility of paying their taxes. While most of us are law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, there are those that skirt their responsibility, and they find a way to then put that burden on the rest of us. So I think that there are things that I would have done differently, that budgets are about choices and priorities, and those are some of the areas that I think that we would have done differently had we been in the majority this time.
And we have about 45 seconds for each of you for closing statements. Representative Schilling, would you like to go first?
Oh, sure. We have talked about a lot of issues here today, and we've had that opportunity to talk about a lot of policies, but in less than 30 days, there were 23,000 signatures that were gathered to recall Senator Kopanky. And these volunteers that signed the petitions were across the political spectrum. They were upset because they felt that their senator was unwilling to listen to the residents of the 32nd district. And as we talked about the policies, we talked about these different issues, we cannot forget why we are here today at this historical time, that it's the citizens that are demanding accountability, that Wisconsin citizens are engaged, they are motivated to write a new chapter in the history books of Wisconsin, and that thousands of citizens are exercising their constitutional right to hold their elected officials accountable. And I have been there listening to the constituents that I've represented for the last 10 years. I have proven over and over I've been on their side, and I will continue to be their voice if elected to the state Senate, and I respectfully ask for their vote next Tuesday.
And Senator Kopanky.
Well, we've had 10 years of fiscal mismanagement by both parties over the last 10 years here in Wisconsin. Taxing, borrowing, spending more money than we've taken in, stealing from cookie jars, stealing from funds. This governor and this legislature stood up and said, enough's enough. We're going to address the fiscal situation we're in. We're going to take extraordinary measures to balance our budget, to pay our bills, and provide for opportunities for people here in Wisconsin by growing jobs. Again, our bond ratings have improved. People are looking at Wisconsin. CEOs are looking at Wisconsin. We've jumped 17 notches in the CEO poll. That's one of the highest in recent years. 88% of business owners in Wisconsin executives feel we're on the right track. These are the people that create jobs. So we want to continue on this path. Why would we want to go back to what we were doing for the last 10 years? I want to continue my year and a half that I left in this term in the state Senate. I want to continue to enjoy working with Jen Schilling and other representatives here in western Wisconsin.
And that concludes the candidate forum for Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District recall election. I want to thank State Senator Dan Kopanky and State Representative Jennifer Schilling. This is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum.